morning, church. Welcome to our second service today. And you might look at the screen beside me and say, this is an unusual combination that you watch. This is Abraham watching a city burn, and yet that's the blessing. How do you mix those two together? That's the message today. I begin today with the blessing of Abraham. Abraham surely lived under the blessing of God. God promised a blessing for all who would bless Abraham as well. Do you believe that? That the blessing originates with Abraham, but it flows through Abraham. God puts it upon Abraham, and Abraham becomes this conduit through which a blessing flows to the rest of mankind. In fact, this is the original covenant blessing of God to Abraham and through Abraham. Let me make a point of this. This blessing comes to one man. God chose Abraham. Abraham didn't choose God. God placed his blessing upon him, and Abraham became a conduit through which the blessing then flows to Isaac, Jacob, the Jewish people, and the Gentiles, the nations. But it began with Abraham. Here's where it began, Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, that's his name before God changed his name to Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. What's the land? We call it the promised land. What's the land? It's Canaan. You're gonna leave your homeland and go to Canaan. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. Here it comes. You will be a blessing to others. Through you, what I'm going to do in you, the blessing will flow out of you into others. I'll bless others. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families, that's us right now, all the families on earth will be blessed through Abraham. On a side note, do you think this 4,000-year-old ancient blessing of God has expired today? Do you think this came with an expiration date? That I'll do this until Jesus comes? Until maybe the 2,000 years ago, the birth of Christ, the first advent? Or do you think this is an eternal blessing? That this blessing is all the way through mankind until Jesus comes to reign in Jerusalem? God is calling Abraham to leave everything he knows and start a new life. Forget everything you've known is true in the past, and we're going to start a new life under the blessing of God. Abraham would stay in tents for his whole life. It's hard to imagine living under the blessing and always living in tents. You might not consider your life under the blessing if every day you lived in a tent. Never settling down, never making a permanent house for him and his family. This was the calling of God. And I want you to notice something. That kind of a life required you to live by faith. You had to have faith, believing that God's going to just take care of me. I'm a stranger in a new land. He's going to take care of me in this new tent life. Hebrews 11. Now, I gave you the covenant, the blessing promise from Genesis, the Old Testament. But let's jump into the New Testament and see how it applies in the church age. Hebrews 11, 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. Another land, listen carefully, that God would give him, here comes the blessing, as an inheritance. Land was an inheritance to Abraham. He went without knowing where he was going, Do you know that? I want you to leave your land. In other words, I'll tell you as we walk together where this road's going to lead you. I'm not going to tell you up front where the destination is. And even when he reached the land God promised, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. And let me insert something. And that promise included the land. The promise wasn't just a blessing. The promise was the blessing and the land. And Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. I too am looking forward to that city. So let's do something. Let's go back and let's check on Abraham and his nephew Lot when they reached a fork in the road event outside a village named Zoar. Z-O-A-R. I want you to remember that name. A city, a little town, a little village named Zoar. So let me set the storyline up as we get started. God had blessed the socks off of Abraham. He's got riches. He's got wealth that they had in that day, which was flocks and herds and family. He's living in tents, but he's got flocks and herds and family. And he's got a nephew, and his name is Lot. And Lot is hanging out with his uncle and living under the blessing as well. I told you, God inserted the blessing into Abraham. But the blessing flows out of Abraham into people around him. Lot, his nephew, is hanging out with his uncle, and guess what? He gets blessed too. So here it comes. And I'm going to say this a bunch today. It's a good thing to hang out with people who live under the blessing. It's a really good idea to hang out with people living under the blessing. So here it comes. The fork in the road event for Abraham and his nephew Lot. And before I read it, I'm convinced, after reading the Bible, I'm convinced that Lot is living under the blessing because of his connection with Abraham. It's a good thing to hang out with people who live under the blessing. Genesis 13, verse 5. Lot, who was traveling with Abram, had also become very wealthy with flocks, sheep, and goats, herds of cattle, and many tents. But the land could not support both Abram and Lot with all their flocks and herds living so close together. So disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. At that time, Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land. Finally, Abram said to Lot, "Let's not allow this conflict to come between us and our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives." It's uncle and nephew. "The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice." This is Abraham talking to Lot. "Take your choice of any section of land you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, then I'll take the land on the right. If you prefer the land on the right, then I'll take the land to the left." Do you see the humility of Abraham, this man of God? Even though he is the senior in this relationship, he is willing to give the first choice to his nephew Lot. Even though he's the one through which the blessing rests, he's willing to give the first choice to Lot. Do you see the faith? Here's the first point I want to make. Abraham lived in tents, but he lived by faith. Do you see the faith? He's trusting the outcome to God. You know, one of the hardest things in our life when we walk by faith is to trust the outcome to God. You don't have to try to force your outcome to happen. Trust the outcome to God. And when he's given Lot the first choice of the land, he's trusting the outcome to God. He knows the source of his blessing, and this blessing isn't dependent upon Lot's choice. No, it isn't dependent upon what Lot does. It's not going to affect my blessing. He knows his blessing comes by the providence and the mercy of God, not what Lot does or doesn't do. So Abraham gives Lot the first choice of the land. Here he comes. And he chooses Zoar. Z-O-A-R. Remember that name. Genesis 13:10. Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord. What do you think that means? Like the Garden of Eden. Or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to the place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plains. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. Sounds a little selfish. Sounds a little prideful to take the best from your rich uncle, doesn't it? Does to me. Sounds like Lot's a little selfish. Giving him the first choice, he takes the most fruitful land. Do you see what's on the other side of Zoar? Did you notice what's on the other side of Zoar? Sodom. Let's keep going. What about Abraham? Remember, he's the source. He's the origin of the blessing. Is the blessing flowing into Lot? Yes, it is. But he's the source. What's he going to do now that Lot has chosen Zoar? Verse 14. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, "Look as far as you can see in every direction." Stay with me. "Look as far as you can see in every direction, north, south, east, and west. I am giving all this land as far as you can see to you." Where's the blessing going? It's still in Abraham. Did Lot just choose the best of the, maybe? "Look north, south, east, and west. I'm giving all this land to you and your descendants." And I want you to notice something. Listen carefully, church. Does this affect us today as a permanent possession? He's in the land of Canaan, and he's looking all as far as he can see in every direction. And God, the creator of the universe, is saying to this one man, "To you and your descendants, I'm going to assign this property forever." Now listen, this was not in my original plan to discuss this today, but the events unfolding around us in the world forced me to stop in the sermon and say something. Right now in the Middle East, they are making a plan led by our president, making a plan, a Middle East peace plan. You've probably heard about it. It's a 20-point plan. In that peace plan, they plan to divide this land. This land that was given as an eternal possession to Abraham and his descendants, we can call that Israel. Our U.S. government is making a plan to divide the land. If you read point number 20 in the 20-point plan, it pretty much says this. They plan to establish a Palestinian state in what we would call this land that God gave to Abraham. Does it matter? Now, maybe that Palestinian state, maybe they're planning it for Gaza. Nobody has the details. Maybe it's in Gaza. Maybe it's in what we call the West Bank, Judea and Samaria. Now, there's a whole lot going on there I don't have time to get into. My point is this. That plan, just this weekend, they plan, here's the word. We plan that in the result, there will be peaceful coexistence in Israel between the Arabs and the Jews. And we're going to get this peaceful coexistence by dividing the land that God gave to Abraham. What does it matter? If you want to write yourself a note, write Joel chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And in Joel chapter 3, it says, "And I will gather the nations of the world into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And there I will bring them into judgment for dividing my land." And let me tell you the first part. I left out the first part. When Judah and Jerusalem have been restored, that happened in 1948 and subsequently in 1967. When they are restored, then I will gather the nations to the valley of Jehoshaphat. The valley of Jehoshaphat is the valley of judgment. And there I will bring judgment against the nations for what? They took this permanent possession and they thought they had the power on the earth to divide that which I gave to Abraham in a blessing and give it to somebody else outside the blessing. You are living in the generation in which this scene is being tested. The blessing. Peaceful coexistence. I heard with my ears our president say this: "I'm bringing peace to the Middle East that hasn't had peace in 3,000 years, but I will bring peace to the Middle East. 3,000 years they've wanted it and couldn't get it, and I will finally give them peace." That's all the time I have to give to that one, but boy, is it deep. Verse 16. "And I will give you," by the way, at this point, he doesn't have children, Abraham. "And I will give you so many descendants that, like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you." This is the creator of the earth. I suppose he could give a piece of land to whomever he chooses because he created it. "I am giving it to you." So Abram moved his camp to Hebron and settled near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. There he built another altar to the Lord. Do you see it? Let me ask you. Do you see it? Lot might have chosen, but God has given it all to Abraham and his family as a permanent possession forever. Do not divide the land. The nation that is involved in dividing the land will come under judgment. The nation that is involved in dividing the land will come under God's judgment. Abraham goes to Hebron. And Lot goes to Zoar. Listen to me, church. And Lot goes to Zoar, and then he goes to Sodom. It's at this point that I'm going to give you the condensed, fast-forward version of Lot's life. Lot moves into Sodom, and the word Sodom is the root word of sodomy. Look it up in the Webster's Dictionary. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm trying to teach truth. Lot moves to Sodom, and the word Sodom is the root word of the word sodomy, which is homosexual sex between men, which is sinful. And I want to just bring something up because I have a feeling very few of you know it. Do you realize that in 1992, 33 years ago, the Kentucky Supreme Court outlawed Kentucky's sodomy law? In other words, sodomy was illegal in Kentucky before 1992. It was against the law. I had no idea how you would ever prosecute it. It was against the law. And that's not my point. My point is the culture determined pre-1992 that sodomy in Kentucky was sinful. It was wrong. It was not to be applauded. It was not to be endorsed or supported or cheered or encouraged. It was wrong. It was sin. And in 1992, the Kentucky Supreme Court said, no, no, we'll change it. And they removed it. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think anything in the culture has changed since 1992, since that happened? Not that Kentucky's the central point of this cultural movement, but it's interesting that in 1992, that which was evil became acceptable. And I think of the Bible when it says, woe to you who call good evil and evil good. Woe to you. Because the reality is you don't get to choose what's good and evil. You don't get to decide everything on your own. You're not God. Woe to you. And what we've seen is remarkable. That which was evil, that which was sin in pre-1992, now in many churches it is celebrated. That which was called sin is now encouraged as a new alternate life. This was the lifestyle of Sodom, the city of Lot's choosing. The Bible describes them as extremely wicked and constantly sinning. Now, I have a question when I read this. How could Lot have known it? Did he know about Sodom before he chose Zoar, which is outside of Sodom? I don't know. I honestly don't know. When he chose this fertile land in the Jordan Valley, I don't know what he knew. So let's fast forward again, one more time. Now it's not Abram. God has told him his name is Abraham. He's the same guy. It's the same blessing. And God comes to Abraham again with two revelations. As Abraham was camped not too far from Sodom, in fact, the Bible says, here's the scene. The Bible says when God comes to Abraham this time, he can see Sodom way off at a distance. It's not on fire, but he can see Sodom way off at a distance. And he comes bringing two revelations. Here's the first revelation. The first revelation is this. 1 year from now, your wife Sarah will give birth to Isaac. And what did Sarah do when she heard that? She laughed. Why? She's 90 years old. It ain't gonna happen. Abraham's 100. It ain't gonna happen. So God comes with the revelation, I will come back this time next year, and Sarah, you will have a son. But the second revelation is this. God is coming to see if the sin of Sodom is as bad as it seems. Those are not my words, those are his. I want to see if it's as bad in Sodom as it looks. Verse 16. Then the men, these are the angels who came carrying the revelation. These are the same two angels that are going to go into Sodom, into Lot's house. Then the two men got up from their meal and looked out toward Sodom. As they left, Abraham went with them and to send them on their way. Should I hide my plans from Abraham? The Lord asked. Now stop for a moment. This is the man the Lord has given this unique blessing. He's touched this man Abraham's life. Out of all the people on the earth, I suppose he could have picked anybody, but he picks Abraham. You understand, there are no Jews. There are no Israelites. There are no Hebrew people. Abraham's the first one. He's it. He's the birth of this people called the Jewish people. So should I hide from this man that I chose? Should I hide from this man whom I am giving this blessing that will touch the nations? Should I hide from him what I'm about to do? Verse 18. For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. That's us. That's us right now. So should I hide from him what I'm about to do? That's the point. I have singled him out. This is God speaking. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. So the Lord told Abraham, I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sins are so flagrant. I am going down to see if their actions are wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know. Now hopefully you know this next part. Abraham negotiates with God from 50 all the way down to 10. Let me explain. Abraham understands that God, he knows about Sodom to some degree. And he knows that Lot and his family are living in Sodom. So Abraham's thinking, are you going to destroy the entire people of Sodom? What about if there's 50 righteous people living there? My nephew lives there. And God says to Abraham, if there are 50 righteous in Sodom, I will not destroy them. So Abraham thinks, wow, that was easy. So he starts negotiating with God. And if you know the story, he gets from 50 all the way down to 10. And he gets to 10. He feels like he ought to stop at 10. He says, surely you won't destroy this great city if there are 10 righteous. And God said, I won't destroy Sodom if there are 10. Now remember, this is important. Abraham knows that his nephew Lot lives in Sodom with his wife and their two daughters. Now here's the conclusion of that story. There were not 10 righteous people in Sodom. Is that sad? This entire city, they can't find 10 righteous people. So wrath and judgment and destruction of God is coming. The two angels go into Lot's house. They strike the homosexual men with blindness, and they grab Lot and force him, his wife, and his two daughters to get out of Sodom. Why? Listen carefully. Why? That's only four. Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. That's four. The negotiation was for 10. Judgment's coming. This goes back to the original promise of God. If the negotiation was for 10, why is he saving the four? The blessing. It's a good thing to hang out with people who live under the blessing. Lot is under the blessing of Abraham. What's the original promise, the original covenant, the original blessing? Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the families on the earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. Abraham loves his nephew Lot, and the bond between Lot and Abraham has sent two angels into Lot's house on a rescue mission from heaven. You understand the negotiation was 10, but there's only four. But the blessing looks like this. The blessing looks like this. God has dispatched two angels inside of Lot's house to rescue them from the coming judgment. It's a good thing to hang out with the blessed people. Verse 15. At dawn, the next morning, the angels became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Take your wife, your two daughters who are here, and get out right now, or you will be swept away in the destruction of the city. And when Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and her two daughters, and rush them to safety outside the city. Why? For the Lord is merciful. And when they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, run for your lives. By the way, if you get outside of here today and you encounter an angel and he says, run for your life, let me just tell you, run. Just thought I'd throw that in there. That's free. Run. Run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountain or you'll be swept away. Oh no, my Lord, Lot begged. You have been so gracious to me and saved my life, and you have shown such great kindness, but I cannot go to the mountains. Disaster would catch up to me there, and I would soon die. So, see, there is a small village nearby. Please let me go there instead. And don't you see how small it is? Then my life will be spared. Now, I got to tell you, listen carefully. It is this next verse I'm about to read to you that caused me to write today's message. It was so revealing to me that all of this comes from verse 21. Here's 21. All right. The angel said, I will grant your request. I will not destroy the little village, but hurry. Escape to it, for I can do nothing until you arrive there. This explains why that village was known as Zoar, which means little place. I don't know if you see what I saw. Lot's gone full circle. He's gone full circle from when he stood at the fork in the road with Abraham, and he chose what? He chose Zoar. Abraham gave Lot the first choice of the land, and Lot chose Zoar. And now, Lot is going to flee to Zoar. Do you know who survived God's judgment that day? Listen carefully, church. Do you know who survived God's judgment that day? Lot, his two daughters, and the village of Zoar. This is what I saw that day. Lot's wife died. She looked back and she died. Do you remember how I started today's message? God offers Abraham and everyone connected to Abraham a blessing from heaven's throne. That blessing passed through Abraham and it went into Lot. It's pretty clear that blessing went into Abraham and it went into Lot, his nephew. It's pretty clear that that's how it works. There weren't 10 righteous people in Sodom. There were not 10 righteous people, which was the negotiation. There were not 10 righteous people in Sodom, but the angel went to rescue Lot's family of four anyway. Anyway. Why? Why? Do you see it? The blessing. It not only passed from Abraham into Lot, the blessing passed into the town called Zoar when Lot showed up in the town. Can you see it? Just because he showed up, just by showing up, the wrath and judgment of God's going to pass over this little town called Zoar. Do you see it? Zoar was spared because of one simple truth. Lot showed up. That's it. Do not get deeply theological. Lot showed up and judgment passed over because Lot showed up. And what's it about Lot? It's about the blessing of Abraham has now flown into Lot and now he shows up in Zoar and now they're blessed. It's a really good idea to hang out with people who live under the blessing. Anybody see it? I'm not saying that everyone hanging out with the children of God are going to escape death and God's wrath and judgment. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that it's a really good idea to hang out with people who are under the blessing. Good things happen. God spared Lot and his two daughters and the town of Zoar because they were somehow connected to Abraham and his blessing. Now listen, Lot's final outcome would depend upon how Lot responded to God, not his uncle Abraham. The final outcome of Lot's wife was settled that day, even while the blessing was all around them. The blessing is surrounding this family, and yet the final outcome of Lot's wife, not so good. Verse 23. Lot reached the village just as the sun was rising over the horizon. And then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them. Are you ready? Along with the other cities and villages of the plain. That would have been Zoar. That was going to be Zoar until Lot showed up in that town. He utterly destroyed them along with the other cities and villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. But Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. In the end, Abraham couldn't save Lot. God saved Lot. Anybody listen? God saved Lot. In the end, Abraham couldn't save Lot's wife. Lot's wife was killed in the judgment of God. And in the end, the people who lived in the village of Zoar wouldn't be saved by Abraham or Lot. They would need to see God's judgment and turn to God, the God of Abraham, for salvation. In the end, Lot had to stand on his own faith, not on the faith of his uncle. And so it is for us today. Yes, it's a really good idea to hang out with people that are living under the blessing. But in the end, it's a really good idea to hang out with people who live under the blessing. But in the end, we will all be accountable for our own lives. We will bear personal responsibility for our own lives. And this is how the Apostle Peter describes it 2,000 years after the time of Abraham and Lot. Now we're in the New Testament. Now we're under the grace and the mercy and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's the Apostle Peter, and here's what he says about this story. 2 Peter 2:7, but God also rescued Lot. They're still talking about it in the time of Jesus. God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. Now, I'm going to stop in that 2 Peter scripture for a moment and ask a question. In 1992, the Kentucky Supreme Court changed a law, and basically the culture was changing. They didn't do it. The culture was doing it for them. They were just following the culture. And since 1992, in the last 33 years, let me ask you a question. Has the culture changed? That which was called in the Kentucky Constitution, I think the word was deviant. Deviant sexual behavior. Deviant. It was called sin. It was called wrong. Has the culture changed since in the last 33 years? You know, I can kind of understand the culture changing in the world, but has the culture and the church changed in 33 years? Yes. And the reason, why am I bringing that up? Because the Bible, I just read to you that Lot was tormented in his soul by the surrounding situation of Sodom. He was tormented in his soul. So let me ask you a question. He was a righteous man tormented in his soul by the sin that surrounded him. Church, are you tormented in your soul by what's happened, for example, in the last 33 years? Or if you'd be honest, would you say, whatever. Whatever. Live and let live. Are you tormented in your soul by what's happened to society and what's happened inside the church? I'm going to start back at the top, verse 7. Go back to number 7. God rescued Lot. You think this has anything to do with the blessing? God rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard every day. So what's that got to do with us? What's that got to do with Peter and the church in the New Testament? Next verse. So we see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials. He can go into a house and snatch four people out of darkness. Anybody listening? He knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment. He can come into a house or into a church or into a group, and he can pull out the righteous, and he can pull out them while leaving the wicked to experience the final judgment. It is in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and Zoar and Lot, and it is in the story of the final days of the church. He knows how to pull out the righteous who grieve sin, who are sick of the immorality that has taken over the culture. He knows how to do that. He knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment. Ready? Are you ready for this? Because some of you won't like this part. He is especially hard, God is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desires and who despise authority. And let me hold up the authority. This is the authority. They despise it. And he's especially hard. I'm going to tell you, I think his normal hard would be bad. But he's especially hard on those who follow their twisted sexual desires. Can anybody mourn the culture we live in? Church, do you grieve what's happened in the culture? Or do you say, whatever? You know why you say whatever? Because it's in the church. It's in here right now. It's in here right now. Listen, you can say all you want to about Sodom and sodomy and homosexuality and lesbianism and LGBT, transgender nightmare. But in reality, fornication's in this room right now. Sex outside of marriage is in this room right now. And you think somehow or another that was a felony and mine's a misdemeanor. The culture has changed. And people don't respect the authority of God's word. They don't fear God. They don't fear judgment. They don't fear anything. It's my body. I'll do what I want to. Verse 10 again. He is especially hard. Can your brain comprehend what that sentence means? He is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desires and who despise authority. These people are proud. What's the gay pride? Pride is their theme. They are proud and arrogant, daring even to scoff at supernatural beings without so much as trembling. You see, in 1992, your normal church in Kentucky would have said, before 1992, culturally speaking, even though the culture was changing, homosexuality would have been called sin. Will the average church in Kentucky call it sin today? Will the average church in Kentucky preach this message today? No. Why? Because the culture has changed. It's not acceptable. What's not acceptable? This. I could stop right here in the message and some of you'd be happy if I did. I could stop right now in the message and say, get out of Sodom while you can. And I think that'd be good counsel, but I ain't stopping. I could stop right here and say, it's a really good idea to hang out with people who are living under the blessing. And that's good counsel. But I need to say right now is this. There are many living all around us today that are living like the people in the village of Zoar. Please listen to me. There are many people living around us right now today, just like the people in the village of Zoar, not knowing. They have no idea that the fire and judgment of God is about to come to the earth. They have no idea. They're just going through their lives. I can hear Jesus saying, it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. It's going to be like it was in the days of Lot. Remember what he says, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah, like in the days of Lot. People are going to be doing their normal things and normal things and normal things. And then the fire of God's judgment comes. And they're waiting. These people in Zoar, these people who surround us in Kentucky. And they're waiting on a Lot to step into their town and share the blessing of Abraham with him. And they're waiting on a Lot to show up. You see, the people of Zoar didn't know. They had no idea what was about to happen. I look at the unbelieving world and they have no idea what's about to happen. They have no idea. Those events in the Middle East that I told you about, dividing the land, and I will gather the nations to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there I will judge them. They have no idea what that means, how this story ends. They have no idea. They have no idea. And yet the church was given the knowledge beforehand so that we would be the light that shares the light into the darkness so they could prepare themselves for this. The people of Zoar didn't know. Many people around us, they don't know. Abraham had asked God to spare the city if there were 10 righteous people there. And there weren't 10, but the blessing came to 4. I'm blown away. But the blessing, there weren't 10, but the blessing came to 4. He rescued 4. Lot's wife dropped him from 4 to 3. And I don't know what happened to the people of Zoar after that. I don't know. You know, the Bible doesn't say after the judgment passed over Zoar, what happens to the people of Zoar? I don't know. But I do know this. I do know this. Verse 27. Abraham got up early that morning. Abraham got up early that morning and hurried out to the place where he had stood in the Lord's presence. He looked out across the plain toward Sodom and Gomorrah and watched as columns of smoke rose from the cities like smoke from a furnace. But God had listened to Abraham's request, and he kept Lot safe. Do you see the blessing? Removing him from the disaster that engulfed the cities of the plain. You remember what Jesus said? The coming of the Son of Man will be as it was in the days of Lot. The blessing kept Lot safe, and it removed him from the destruction that was coming. Church, that's your promise. He knows how to keep the wicked under judgment and the redeemed safe at the same time. Lot lived under the blessing of Abraham. Do you see it? It's a good thing to hang out with the blessed people of God. One more time, verse 3, Genesis 12. Do you think this is expired? I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on earth, even in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, will be blessed through you. Lot lived under the blessing of Abraham, and so do you and me. Does it matter who you spend time with, who you hang out with? Sometimes the greatest thing we will ever do, listen, church, When I look back over the last 30 plus years of my ministry, I've concluded the simple thought. Sometimes the best thing I ever did was show up. Most of the time I went not knowing, no plan, no idea. Just show up. Just show up. Just be there. When I look at raising my kids and now helping to raise my grandkids and being involved in family, sometimes it doesn't matter what my plan was. Just be there. Just be a light that shines in the darkness. Be a blessed man who lives among people who need blessings. Just be an extension, a conduit of the blessing that I have received. Just show up. I've said for years here, after I've been here 25 and a half years now at Nineveh, 99.9% of the time, I am 99.9% clueless. That's my testimony. I never went to seminary, never went to Bible college, never took a Bible college class in my lifetime. I showed up after he blessed me. I showed up. The Lord came and gave me a blessing. And then I show up. And I don't always come to my family or to the church or to the world knowing what to do or having some big plan. Just show up. Lot didn't have a plan when he entered the town of Zoar. But his arrival carried a blessing into a village. And the judgment of God passed over that village. Isn't that interesting? You don't have to have all the answers. Just show up. Let the blessing arrive with you. Just let the blessing arrive with you. You didn't get the blessing, you received it. You didn't create it, you received it. He passed it to you. Does it matter who you hang out with and who you share your life with? What about this? Does it matter if we go to our modern day Zoar? Does it matter if we, the church, the redeemed, those living under the blessing, does it matter if we go to our modern day people of Zoar, who have no idea that the judgment of God is coming? Does it matter today? Do we bear any personal responsibility to those around us who have no idea what's coming? Let me illustrate something. Back in the days of COVID, when we shut the church down for 8 weeks, some of y'all remember that. We closed for 8 weeks. Before COVID, we really didn't have any online presence, which means we didn't really spend resources broadcasting our services, our messages online. COVID kind of forced us to get intentional about that. So we invested money, put in cameras and equipment, redid some stuff, and tried to get an online presence. Why? Because during COVID, people couldn't come in. We had to send it out. The message had to go out. And I'll tell you, I wasn't really for that. You know why I wasn't for that? I kept thinking people ought to get out of bed and come to church. I still have that feeling today, by the way. I haven't got over that part. People ought to get out of bed and come to church. But then I realized something. There were thousands of people who were watching online who will never come to church. And they lived in Zoar. And we had the blessing. And we bore a responsibility to transfer that blessing into their lives, to shine some light into their darkness, because more than likely, they're never going to come in here. So why don't we send it out to them? And right now, you understand, we get some information back from our systems that send out these messages. This is being broadcast live today, that about 3,500 people every Sunday will be, 3,500 houses. I don't know how many people in the houses. 3,500 houses or sites are watching this service today. We'll only have about 1,300 people in the audience, but 3,500 from Zoar are watching. Do you bear responsibility? So let's ask the Apostle Paul that same question. Do we bear a responsibility? 1 Corinthians 15:30. Why should we risk our lives? hour by hour. Let me context this verse. Do you think it's going to be always safe to go to Zoar with a message they don't want to hear in Zoar? Let me be more specific. Do you think going to Sodom with today's message is going to be safe? Do you think going to the world and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as absolute truth is going to be safe? Now you'll understand Paul's writing. And why should we ourselves risk our lives? I'm under the blessing, so why should I put myself in danger to give the blessing to you? Why should we risk our lives hour by hour? For I swear, dear brothers and sisters, I face death daily. Why? Because he's a preacher of the gospel. This is as certain as my pride in what Christ Jesus our Lord has done in you. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts, those people of Ephesus? If there were no resurrection from the dead, if there is no resurrection, if there is no heaven, if there is no judgment, why do we do it? And if there is no resurrection, then let's feast and drink, and for tomorrow we die. And don't be fooled by those who say such things. For bad company corrupts good character. But if that's true, bad company corrupts good character, is it possible that good company can redeem bad character? It's good to hang out with people who are under the blessing. Verse 34, think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all. And I look around the room today, and let me just ask in love, I ask you in love, is there unrepentant, unconfessed sin in your life? What are you doing? What are you doing? You can't fix it. You can't fix you. But the Holy Spirit can. He can give you the power to overcome sin, death, grave, hell. Do you right now, so here we go. Do you right now live in Sodom? Do you live in Zoar right now? That's where you are. You live in sin. Let me ask a second question. Are you from Sodom? You haven't forgotten what it is to live in a sinful sexual lifestyle. Are you from Zoar? We're all from somewhere that is condemned and sinful. That's where we're all from. You were in a place that was destined for God's judgment, and guess what happened? I look at my life, and I was from Zoar. I was in a place that I didn't know, but it was destined for God's wrath and judgment. And then a strange man with a blessing came into my town. Let me tell you what that looks like for me. I was from Zoar, and then a strange man came to my town, a strange man who was living under the blessing of Abraham. He happened to be, in this case, in my story, he was a preacher, and his name was Bob Molden. He was from North Carolina. And to this day, I can't tell you what his sermon was about. Doesn't speak well for preaching, does it? I can't tell you what he preached. All I know is that man came to that place that night, August 1988, and he came and he was under the blessing. And somehow, by the mercy and grace of God, the blessing transferred from him into me. And God changed my life. Forever I was changed. You know why? Because he showed up. And that night I showed up in that place. His blessing, which he received through the covenant of Abraham, that's the children of God covenant, flowed into this guy, Bob Molden from North Carolina. He's since gone on to be with the Lord. I look forward to seeing him one day in heaven. That blessing transferred into my life and changed me forever, and I eventually, right after that, went into the ministry. And what is this blessing of Abraham I've talked about all day? What is it? Galatians 3:6, and then we'll close. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Abraham believed God. all of it. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. And what's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. That's us. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ, are you ready? Share the same blessing as Abraham. I close with something that I've never shared before that I'm aware of. Before I came to Nineveh, I was in the business world and I traveled the world. I mean, I literally did. I was a million miler with Delta Airlines and a half a million miler with Northwest. I don't think I've ever shared this with you, but there was a prayer. I lived on airplanes for several years, traveling all over the world. Had several close calls. I'm landing on a Comair flight in Cincinnati, Ohio. The pilot comes on, says the landing gear won't lock down, so he's dumped all of his fuel, and they're going to foam the runway. We're supposed to take the crash position. I prayed really hard that day, by the way. And the fire trucks, they'd already foamed the runway, and fire trucks are following us as we land. Everything worked out fine. I'm landing in Tokyo, Japan one time when the pilot comes on and says, we are dangerously low on fuel. They've cleared the airport so that we got first chance to land. We won't get a second chance. Have a nice day. Here's what I used to do. After reading Acts chapter 27, I started praying this prayer. I said, Lord, would you protect the people on this plane with me as you protect me this day? I won't just pray for me. I pray that in this flight, in this travel, not only will your blessing rest upon me, but your blessing will rest upon everyone who is around me. And I get that from this, and I'm going to give you the short version because I'm running out of time. When the Apostle Paul is on that boat and he's heading toward Rome, and the boat's about to sink and they've given up all hope, an angel of the Lord comes to Paul and he says to Paul, have hope, you're going to be okay, and because you're on the boat, I'm going to save everybody on the boat. Because you showed up on the boat that's in the storm, everybody on the boat in the storm's going to get your blessing. So I started praying that prayer when I would fly on airplanes. And listen, I flew, almost 2 million miles, never had a crash. What's my point? Yes, I want to live under the blessing of God. Yes, I want the blessing to flow into my family and into my friends. But I also want that same blessing to go into our Zohar, into those who are around us right now. I am burdened by the fact that there are people all around us. There are people in your families, in your house, that if that blessing doesn't come upon them, if they are not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, this wrath is coming upon them. It's coming. And they have no idea. And maybe the reality is this. Maybe you're in the room today and you are not under the blessing. You are playing some religious game that you really, have you been born again? Has your life been transformed by this blessing? Is the Holy Spirit in you? It's yes or no. You're in or out. First, make sure you're under the blessing. Second, after you're under the blessing, go share that blessing with somebody around you. Why? Jude 1 verse 20. But you, dear friends, must build each other up by the most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering, rescuing others, this is our Zohar responsibility, rescuing others by snatching them from the flames of judgment, and show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins of contaminate their lives. I'll ask Chad to come on out for the invitation. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses comes and his brother's name is Aaron. And God decides that Aaron will be the first high priest. So God gives Aaron, through Moses, a priestly blessing. And I want to read to you, I want you today, the purpose of today's message is that you receive the blessing, number one. And number two, after you receive the blessing, you understand that you are to pass the blessing to somebody else. That which God has given you, you give to somebody else. So here's the priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Here's my counsel today. I pray that you are under this blessing. Do you realize that the church is the royal priesthood? We're supposed to be living under this priestly blessing. And also, the Bible says that we will reign with him as priests of God in the kingdom that's coming. These priests are supposed to be us. We're supposed to be living under this priestly blessing. So today, we're going to sing a song. It's an invitation. The invitation, if you're in the room today and you're not under the blessing of Abraham, those are the children of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're redeemed by the blood of Christ. You've been born again. If you're in the room, you have not been born again into Christ. The blessing is here. Receive the blessing. Come forward. Receive the blessing. And if you have not received the blessing, come forward. If you have received a blessing, bless somebody else. Let's stand.